With Reverend Raymond Williamson, the associate minister of the Morning Star Freeway Baptist Church. Reverend Williamson was born September 8, 1904 in Tennessee. He's been in the ministry since 1960. He's been a member of the Morning Star since his first arrival to Champaign in 1923. This interview is being conducted on June 22, 1983 at Reverend Williamson's home on West Beslin in Urbana. The interviewers are Patrick D. Tyler and Melinda Roundtree, representing the Urbana Free Library Archives Department. Okay, Reverend Williamson. Well, first, what we wanted to know was, like, your background, your birth and your childhood, and When did you come here? Stuff like that.
Oh, that's the first thing you want to know.
Yes.
Okay, I came here in 1923.
Okay. I mean, how about your past life before you came here?
Before I came here?
Yeah.
Well, I was raised, because I was raised in Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Uh-huh.
Anything you was raised in? What part of Tennessee?
I'd say the western part. I was raised in McLemoresville, the town in McLemoresville, Tennessee. The capital of Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh. County seat was Herndon, Tennessee.
So, okay.
I was born in Tennessee.
You say you're born in Tennessee.
I was born in Tennessee, but I lived in Carbondale for 3 or 4 years in Illinois. Then my mother died, and I moved permanently to Tennessee, where my grandmother raised me.
And you came here, okay.
I came here from Tennessee in 1923.
What brought you here?
What brought me here? Mm-hmm. At that time, my father lived here, and my sister.
Your father.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And now, your father, you know the day when your father came here?
No. I don't know the day when my father came here.
Okay, so that's what brought you to Champaign?
Yeah, I came to Champaign.
Were you a minister when you came here?
No, I wasn't a minister. I wasn't called into the ministers, I don't think, until 1960. I believe it was.
1960?
I think I'm right on that.
But you were a deacon before, right?
Huh?
You were a deacon.
I was a deacon here, yes. I was a deacon here, I'd say, anywhere from, at least, let me see, I'm trying to get you a correct figure, best I can bring to my knowledge. See, I went to 38, I was a deacon for at least 25, 30 years.
25, 30 years before you started ministry?
Yes.
Yeah. And now, when did you start, at Freeway, Morning Star?
That's just what I'm talking about. All of my activities has been, I started Freeway, I joined Freeway in 1923.
When you first got here?
Yeah, when I first got here. in November 1923. I joined the church there.
So you was with Freewill when you first basically got really started real good.
Oh, when it started out?
Real good.
Yeah, we got started good, yes. See, we was, I was in the old, you know, we was in the old church, yeah, sure.
You got any pictures of the old church or old programs or anything?
Do I have any? No, I don't. No, I don't.
So.
The only thing I know, I joined the church under Reverend Morgan. And I don't think we know history. I don't think we got no backgrounds on him. No more what I say. In fact, I speak about the only one to know about that. Because the next one would know would be Mother Lynn, and she didn't come in until 25. And I don't think she would, I think he was gone when she got here.
Mm-hmm. So, tell us a little bit about, you know, the past, like being in Freewill and, you know, spend your life there. About the different pastors that have came through.
Oh yes, well, it's been so long. Some of my probably forgotten. Well, that was Reverend Morgan and the different pastors. Well, we could still get them out of this. So they're listed
in the
book.
In the history, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get it out of there.
Okay.
Yeah. And my father, he was, of course, he's in there too. Mm-hmm. He was a
pastor
there. Yeah.
Okay, and let's talk a little bit about your father then. Where was your father born?
Tennessee.
He was born in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you don't remember what date he...
No, I done forgot now. He's been dead about 3 or 4 years, and he was 100 and... Right at 105.
You know how long he passed at Freewill?
One time he passed there in succession of 8 years. One time, he passed there twice. Then he went back, and I don't know. This is exactly how long it was. And he passed the last time.
So, and you was deacon at that time, right?
Yeah. Uh huh.
You know how your father started Freewill?
Yes, he was there in the beginning of the church. The first started, that's when I say you can get it out of the book, because he was the first deacon.
Right.
I came up just like he did. Mm-hmm. He was a deacon, and he went from there, and he was called into the ministry. And he went from the deacon to the ministry. And of course the church first started on Market Street, and then they moved down here to a dwelling on Church Street, and then they moved up to the present site where it's at now.
Could you tell us about, you know, the changes that has been made over the years in the church?
Except the structure.
You know, like the congregation, you know, different.
The changes has been a lot of, sure, the church have grown tremendously. When I remember at one time in the church that we didn't have over 10 or 15 members. And it come from, of course, we come from an old building up until this present site. Yeah, I remember that. And of course, naturally, you had some ups and downs, and some sweets, you know, as a church grow. Now, I remember at one time, man, we didn't have, I was trying to think, we just didn't have over three deacons, four. And we had to grow, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we was pretty small there. And I served as deacon and trustee up until I was called into the ministry. Quite a while. Quite a long time. And I was just the growth of the church. Free will used to be one of the leading spiritual churches of the Twin Cities. It used to be people would come to Free Will to get the spiritual renewed. And all the ministers just seemed like they was on fire for the Lord. And it really was.
Would you say still like that?
Huh?
Would you say still like that?
Yes. I would. I would say Free Will is as I spoke about it Sunday, is the mother of three churches. There's three churches come out from Free Will, and she's still standing. And she's been blessed. And more so than that, the new ministers, how God is blessing and calling out new ministers and to keep Free Will going. I think this is a tremendous blessing that's coming from the Heavenly Father. Just say, look at you yourself and see how he's bringing you. I think it's something for the whole town to look up to. Now, as far as, yes, you get your knockdowns, but didn't Jesus get them?
Yeah.
And so, is we always going to have somebody to stand? And I think, as I still say, Free Will, all the churches of the city should look up to him. Because you look at Jericho over there, that's solid Free Will. You look at Reverend Tatum, that's Free Will. All come, and Reverend Birch, that all come right out of Free Will. And they ran back and talking about what we did. What's the Lord have did? And yet, with all of that, Free Will is still marching on. And naturally, it makes my soul happy. And I'm glad about it. To see how God has worked with the community. And see people walk the streets and how they, you know, say things and do. But Free Will keep marching on. I like that. I really do. And I'm glad I've been spared and blessed to see these things. God is real, you know it?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, God's real.
That's right.
And I'm a living witness to say that, because I'm fortunate enough he blessed me to see it. And it's something else. It really is. And when you really get in and to look in and see how real God is, it makes your soul happy. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You know, to be real, it moves you in a lot of directions. God has to move us in a lot of directions, just like you going down driving your automobile. You got a steering wheel there. You have to move in many different ways to keep from running, you know, into something.
Right.
So God is just stirring Free Will. and move in free will over one object, and here's another one. And then still a weakness, he come down giving, planting new people to give them more strength. Young people.
Now, about young folk, would you say the youth and the community is still as active as it was when it first got started?
Would I say that?
Yeah.
I say more so because of more of them.
More?
Yeah. I say more so. But first, they're stating more, they're sincere. Yes. I say they're more active, sure. Sure. I know the youth get a lot of, youth gets a lot of things that they does not, they shouldn't get. A lot of people say things about the youth instead of saying things that should help the youth. They should stand by their side and see to it. Not to try to manhandle such, but to be right by the side to help them and encourage them. I think that ain't no think nothing about it. The youth is something else. Look at our choirs, and look at youth all over. Look how they're doing. Stand up. You know, youth got at this day and age. He really got to be real. And I think I think they're stronger, sure. I know we have some people do some things, I know that. But look, we got a, we must remember, we got an old flow of youth, too. And so, I would say, sure.
What things have the church done over the years, even in the past and up to now today, has it done for the youth? You know, what? You know, things that's in the church that has been done for the youth.
Well, I would say, just like you going to this youth conference, they've had a lot of things in their mind and they spoke about them, but they didn't put them in action. Things like this. They're putting more in action, like your conference and your musicians and your music and your young ministers and things of the sort. I know things are much different because people didn't want to bring the youth on, you know. The youth want to wait until the youth get grown and then train them. And there was a mighty few that they wanted to train. But nowadays, the doors is open to a youth where they can really understand and learn about the Lord. And I think it's much greater. Yeah, I think it's, in fact, I know it is, much greater than it used to be. Because you don't have the you don't have the narrowness, the jealousy.
Yeah.
You don't have it. It's begin to kind of move on out.
I was wondering, you know, like the time span, like, okay, now they have Sunday school, 9:30, and then church get out, like, 2, you know, something like that. And I was wondering, like, you know, during the years you've been there, how has the time changed, or has it been pretty much the same? You
know, the before? That depends on, and it have been some length of, too. Now that depends on if you can get people involved to be on time. And now that's a little struggle to get people to be on time and to act on time. I don't think one thing it delays. Here's one thing. I don't think we should say the same, the whole standard, the whole song, unless in the spirit, you know, two verses or three verses, and then the chorus. And that brings about, you know, a lot of other things that brings about a delay, because that's left up to your ministers. Is in charge. Sometimes you can, well, of course, answer your question, and sometimes it's, well, I'll start asking, that's right. Sometimes the sermon is too, sometimes it's too long, and sometimes it's, you want it to be long enough, but we don't need to be in service that long, as we had a lot of times. Sometimes it's like Sunday you had baptism, and things like that, that's different. But we ought to be able to get out of church. We ought not to stay in church at 2 o'clock. That's a kind of variance, you know. We ought to be able to stand up to start on time and get out on time.
Uh-huh. Would you say that the community in Champaign, Urbana, yeah, in Twin Cities, are seeking, you know, church, seeking God more now than it were in the past?
Well, that's a twofold question. I'd say now, if it is true, with the churches we have in the Twin Cities, they have it have tripled. But if they're not in for reality in serving God, I'd say no. But if they are, we are for much more. We used to didn't have, no, we didn't have all these churches. You didn't have the, all these churches to go to. But now then, on every way you turn, there's a church. So, the only answer I could give, according to the churches, we should be much more stronger, but I don't think we are.
Since you had mentioned that, like, we got every place, yeah, we have a lot of churches in the community, you know, in the Twin Cities, you know, like, everywhere you turn, there's a church.
Yeah.
Is it helping the community?
Doing the community? Yeah. Well, I say it like this. I guess it's got to help. We can't say anywhere you got a church and you open in the name of the Lord, it's got to help. Mm-hmm. Well, we'd have to say that. It's got to help. Because after all, if you don't have but two or three people, it that could keep that many out of crime or something, you know, while the service is going on. So we would have to say it's got to be, yeah. We'd have to say that regardless, because as I say, at the time they're putting in God's house, why, they're not in the streets.
So, as far as about crime and, you know, a lot of the stuff that people can be doing, you know, and if they don't do that, they go to church, which is, keeps them out of trouble.
This is true. This is true. If you go into church, it'll keep you out of trouble. This is true. At least while you're sitting in there, anyhow. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Now, let's talk about the community.
Okay.
A little. Let me see. You've been here for a while, so, you know, How has the community changed since you've been here? I mean, since, you know, when you first came here, I know, you know, the houses and, you know, the people and the generations.
And the growth and the maturity, they have tripled. But you don't find it's according. There are more Christians
of today than it was a few years. Hence, because there are more people. But according to the volume of the people, in today and age, I think what you're talking about, with this day and age and the day and age before you, those people seemed there was more Christianity. I'm talking about according to the volume of people. Because you can find even if they had some of everything, now don't miss getting wrong that everybody used to be saints because they wasn't. To some, everything you see going on now have went on. There's one thing about it that used to didn't be dope. And another thing about it, you didn't hear about women's like they are today. Going with women, and you didn't hear about men. And if they would catch up with something like that or something, you know, they would do something about it. They wouldn't hesitate. But today it's getting to be plentiful. And those kind of things.
So what you're saying is more, it's being accepted in the community, in society.
It's more accepted. And then the other situation is accepted and you can't do nothing about it, is law, is this abortion. You can't do nothing about it. And I don't care, I don't care how we use our Christianity, you know, and you keep up with it more than I do. Probably you do more reading. You know, it's backed up by the congressman, and it's backed up by our Supreme Court. And they're getting to the place on the TV and things like that that you can't even speak against it. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes, sir.
That's just how weak we are moving with our knowledge. When I say we, you know I don't mean you and I. Away from God. And in the years to come, if it ain't a turnaround, well, we're gonna be just like Russia and other places. You say we ain't gonna be tried because we already being tried. It takes an awful strong man to stand up for God now. Right now, we just in that turmoil.
About the sermons that I preach now, are they? You think they more freely preach, like some preachers? They preach about how people put their.
The sermons are. That's kind of a hard one to answer, since I don't visit enough, churches. And what you hear, we're talking about, we're not talking about single churches now. The sermons, what we hear, we'll just say like with nationally on the TVs. I would say that, yes, they're preaching the gospel. And I would say that the sermons we hear locally, they're preaching the gospel. It's not because they ain't hearing the gospel.
All right, they want God to bless them. They want them there.
Huh? In their own way. Yeah, in their own way. And that ain't gonna work. And we know that, because when God gets angry, that's the reason the children didn't want God to talk to them, they want Moses. Because God is God. We have to accept it.
If you can think back, I want to like, how is the government now in this community, in Champaign, in the Twin City, you know, is it more for the people? I mean, are there, you know, for the people, is the government benefit the people? Does it benefit the people?
Well, there you get, what you mean, the local government here in the city?
Is it more open, like, you know, say like for the churches, I mean, can they go out and do a lot of things, you know, like run like a street revival or a street, you know? You know, is the government?
I don't know what they can go out freely like that and run a street revival like they have in the past. I don't know, because I have made no contact in that respect lately. And I really don't know what the new government did about that. I know it used to, but I can't say it. The only thing I can say is I haven't seen one for a few years, so I don't know what they can still do them or not.
So the government, you know, as far as
I don't know what they interfere, huh? I don't know what they will they intervene or not.
But in the past they used to.
Yeah, in the past they used to. Yeah, you could get it.
So you know the government was more, you know, open to the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And allowing them to move.
Yes. I think the government is kind of, there's some things that the government, you know, if there's, they kind of, they want to know what kind, you know. They want to know what kind of churches they're sponsored, because of some churches the government don't want to get up off the ground. Yeah, some things they just don't think. The government is getting into, but one thing, the government's getting involved in too much Christianity as it is. I don't think the government, they have smooth ways that they try to ease around, you know, mm-hmm. and try to stop you on a lot of moving things like that. And to preach what the government wants you to preach and things like that, I don't think the government got no business in that.
Right.
I think any time they try to tell you what to preach,
one last thing I want to talk to you about now is that about your life in Champaign, Urbana. How has it been? I mean, is times harder or are they easier? I mean, how's?
Well, I would have to say my life is I'd have to say I've been blessed. Yeah, times much easier. I've been blessed. Yes, I have to say. I have been blessed all the way around, serving the Lord. Not that the church give me all, I don't mean that. I was speaking as of Christianity, and up until this hour, the church and the town, city, around the community and around, I've been blessed.
Like in the past, was it like when you first came here, was it easy for you to get a job, you know, being black?
Was it I'm glad you asked me that question. When I came here, I was there was laying off people at the railroads, and when I came, and then I went up to the IC Railroad. Myself and my first cousin came here together. And I went up to the IC Railroads I never will forget it. And I had on a brand new suit of overalls. And I went up, and the general foreman was named Donnelly. And my father and them told me it wasn't no use of going up there because it was laying off people. I went up, and he looked us over and told us, come in. We went in into his office and sat down. I told him what we wanted. We were looking for a job. Right. He looked us over, and do you know he hired us?
He hired you?
He hired us right there. Got a job.
Now who is this?
This was Donnelly, general foreman of the IC. Mm-hmm. Shots.
Now, this was what, when you first came?
Yeah, this was in 23. Mm-hmm. I went to work the same month I came in.
Now, how was the time, I was wondering, you know, how was the time here in Champaign-Urbana doing Martin Luther King, you know, during the 60s, civil rights movement? How was things here?
Well, in general, you know, things wasn't nothing like, because people was getting along, but a lot of things that Martin Luther King brought about, that just wasn't in existence. We have advanced under Martin Luther King's entering in. I would say practically 100%. So many things. So many things that we have really came forward. And if we could have maintained and kept our balance, I believe we made it on over. I think where we hurt ourselves and we hurt his effort was where after we got so far, we got besides ourselves, and when we started that destruction, that hurt us. But I believe if we hadn't have started that, I believe we would have really went to town. Now that's my belief. Yeah. So those show that look, everything was really opened up. But yeah, we still haven't lost it all.
You know, during that time, you know, the civil rights movement, the 60s and stuff, how was things around here? I mean, how was...
Locally?
Yeah, locally.
Things open up gradually from where it was at that position, at that time. And there were some drawbacks. And it was glad. I mean, some people opened up and some didn't. And local in general, I'd say it got at least, well, for jobs and things like, well, yeah, it did great. It was better afterwards than it was beforehand. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you remember, was it ever like, you know, like in the South about, you know, if you had went to a white person's house, you had to go to the back?
Was this place ever like that?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yes, indeed. Sure. I worked where I got a job at the railroads and things. There was a place for a colored man to drink water, and a place for white signs. Bathroom was the same way. Sure, everywhere you went. Yes, indeed. And it'd be a few. You go to the homes, what you'd be working at, you know, or whatnot, and you could use their utilities. But it was a whole lot of no. Some you could go in the bank doors. I mean, some you in the front, but most of them you in the back doors.
So things has really changed.
These kind of things that y'all don't know in the Bible, oh no, we had to. Everything has changed. Everything has changed, 100%. That's the reason I said everything has changed. Sure, we older people didn't make the money like y'all can make now. You can go out on the job, things like that, and make nice money and things like that. We didn't do that. You just couldn't do it. No, those kind of things, Really, y'all in the other, just to say it truthfully, y'all in the other man's place because he's moved on up high, you know. Mm-hmm. Because y'all is really, yet, by things unfolding, and with you younger people coming on, and you pushing to the front, you pushing forward, and this is where the rubs come again. But the Lord always, he works out things, you know. Just trying to stop you at your advancement where they used to try to stop us. But they ain't gonna never get that job done no more. That's gone. They ain't gonna never get that job dead. Oh, indeed.
Yeah. I was wondering, do you have like any pictures or postcard of like old places that used to be here that's not here anymore?
Yeah.
You know, when you first came here, did you take any pictures or anything?
Oh, I used to, but I guess I don't know where they are. No, that's beyond. That's beyond. I don't know where that old railroad place where I used to work, where I used to water the trains. You know where that's at? That's gone too, Harry.
Yeah, I don't know, Reverend. I haven't saw that in so long.
It, look over in that Caesar's over there. In that file. Littleman, too. On the railroad. Unions. And I was working for the New York Central then. And I was secretary and treasurer. And that's the files that I used to use, what's over there.
Over there?
Uh-huh. That's over there? That's my files over there where I used to use it. I used to be over in Annapolis, Mattoon, and Springfield, Peoria, and Danville. All the local unions. That was the committee.
What was the name of the railroad?
Oh, New York Central.
New York Central?
Uh-huh. System.
I was wondering, what kind of stuff do you have in your file?
Does I have any? Oh, I don't think I got none of that in my file now. Listen, there might be some.
You have any old ledgers or papers you used to use?
I was just trying to. You see any old ledger papers in there? That either one that. And that heavy draw pulled out the railroads on. Be heaven right here on earth.
Yeah.
know, I can just sit and look, and it does me good. I certainly enjoy it.
Yeah. Can you remember when, like, this area, before you moved there, you know, what was here in this area?
Well, before I moved here, it was it wasn't but three colored people, three colored houses. Next door, and this one, and the one next door. That was it. All was white. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Can you remember some of the old places that used to be around here that's not here anymore? Was there ever a store down here?
Collins store. Yeah. You know Collins grocery store, it was the main store.
Collins?
Uh-huh. I eat Collins.
You know whatever happened to it?
It just, all the older people passed on, and it just went down.
That's it, right here on the corner over there.
Yeah, on the corner of Hill and, it's on the, yeah, over on Hill Street. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember, like, when it was cornfields around here?
No houses? No.
Yes, sir.
No. I remember when there was cornfield up here all from the schoolhouse clean on out. All out there, and there was just cornfield where the water pump and all that stuff is and everything.
You lived here ever since
she came to
something, or you?
Yeah. No, I lived here. I lived here. I never have moved from here. Not here, you mean here in this house?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I used to live on Dublin Street. I think it was. Dublin.
Did you move here from there?
Yeah, when I moved from there, I moved here in 37. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought this home in 37. Mm-hmm.
How long did you work at the railroad?
I worked at railroads altogether 32 years. I worked at Joseph Kuhn come to part-time 25 years. I sent my boy through college there in school. I needed the extra money, and then so I worked there to send him through college.
Was college here in town?
Or? Well, he at high school. No, he went to Ohio. Zenas, Ohio. Okay, all right. That's okay. If we can't pick it up, we can't. But I'm gonna clean it out myself.
Look, it's 11.